We heard Jack Stamp conducting the Keystone Wind Ensemble in the Concertante for Wind Instruments by Norman Dellagioio. You're listening to Intermezzo on KRWG 90.7 and KRXG Silver City. It's my pleasure, as always, to welcome back Dr. William Clark to our studios. He's conducting a concert this Sunday with the Mesilla Valley Concert Band at the Atkinson Recital Hall, always a free concert. And the music of Norman Dellagioio is on that program, but not this piece. Dr. Right. Clark, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was a delightful piece. This was a new piece to me, and what a treat. We'll be playing this in the next year because we're going to be playing it on one of our concerts next season.
Yeah.
That's a terrific piece.
Because you just heard it for the first time right here on Intermezzo, and it was new for me, too.
And you know, you mentioned it being a tone row at the beginning.
Yeah.
And tone rows come out, it depends on how you construct those things, because the rules say you have to play all the notes in the row and then play them again in the same order and all that. But you can play them vertically or horizontally.
Right.
And he just constructed that row so that we had some of these beautiful, as you mentioned, lush sounds that Norman Dellagioio is so famous for.
Yeah.
He has this great way of scoring with that pyramid scoring with that those low voices that are just wonderful.
Yeah, I mentioned that off the mic, but I was introduced to the music, well, to Norman Dellagioio as a person actually taking a music appreciation class in high school, and he wrote the textbook. So he was middle-aged at the time, not, you know, nearly as famous as he would become, although he was well-known already. But so I always took a fancy, you know, watching his name out there once you've been exposed to somebody through a class. And his kind of music then, I guess that would have been maybe the early 70s, was not popular. The classical music world was playing very atonal music or electronic music. You know, so somebody who could put together these beautiful harmonies and
he did that. He did a contemporary, you could tell it was 20th century music. There was no doubt about that. But it didn't seem to have a need to be offensive, you know.
well said. Yeah, in a way he fits in with the music we're hearing now in the 21st century with sort of the new tonality and bringing it back. And anyway, wonderful music. You're going to be playing something different on Sunday by Norman Dellagioio.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
It's a piece written for a television show. I believe it was in the 60s or 70s, and scenes from the Louvre. And it was a show about the Louvre, and it was each of the sections, the children's gallery and all of those. And there's music to appropriate for that particular time setting. And it's just really well done. It's five short little movements that are just delightful.
Huh. He did write, that was the place where you would hear tonal music, of course, television or movies.
Exactly.
Yeah, that tradition continued. Yeah. Wow, so for a television program about the Louvre, the famous museum in Paris, and is it a difficult piece for your band?
Yes, it is. It's difficult for anybody's band.
Anybody's band. No, I meant anybody's band.
There's some of the most difficult little solo. There's a one-measure bassoon solo in there that's as hard as it gets.
Well, you know, When the wind and the brass players are playing in an orchestra, of course, there's only one or two. So when they've got a solo, they got to shine because everybody's
right.
In the hall is going to hear them. But even with a wind ensemble, that's true because you'll often have one soloist, even though you've got a whole section of clarinetists or
particularly
whoever.
With a great composer like Dellagioio, he knows how to score that where that one solo instrument can be just absolutely flying,
yeah.
And everybody else is still playing, but he scores it so that it's so consumable.
So it seems to me, I noticed at the last concert, Dr. Clark, that and you kind of rotate the solo honors in the orchestra, in the band.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. But one reason is because we have so many really fine players, particularly like in certain sections. Clarinet section is just full of just superstar people. And so the section leaders take care of that. And I ask them to transfer those solos to people that can play them. Let everybody have as many chances as we can.
So even within one piece, if there's different solos,
exactly.
different clarinetist or trumpetist. Right.
We have several sections like that, we're rich there now. So
yes, definitely. So this is the Mesilla Valley Concert Band, and as always, I always say this, but it bears repeating. There may be a new listener out there. This is a community band made up, however, of a lot of professional musicians and some amateur but high level.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And that's the way that we keep working toward that goal. Our goal is to produce the highest quality music we can at the highest possible level. And everybody knows that. And unless they buy into that, they really don't feel good about being in the group. So that is the group philosophy. We're going to do this just as well as we can. And we only get 2 hours a week rehearsal. We rehearse 2 hours on Sunday, late Sunday evening. And we do everything we can to do it as well as we can.
Yeah.
And it's very refreshing to see that kind of... And the art of music, as you know, but being a terrific musician yourself, it takes the most mental... just focus of anything that you can do, just about. Just takes every ounce of your mental energy to produce that at the level you want it.
Yeah. It is so true. Playing music, you can't do it mindlessly. If you do it mindlessly, it will sound mindless.
Just exactly that way.
Yeah.
A lot of elevator music is done that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a musician, you're worrying about just the technical issues of whatever your instrument is, but then you got to get beyond that so you can play the music.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Not just unfortunately,
notes.
That's just the way it is. And unfortunately, because I think that the fact that it takes that much mental energy, I think that goes to the audience. I think the audience can feel that and can understand that one way or another.
Absolutely. You know when you're listening to a musician, even if it's recorded, where there's really that energy is in there. Absolutely. Yeah, so tell us what else is on the program on Sunday.
We're doing a piece by Frank Tekeli. I've done several of his pieces, and this is a person worth watching. He's still a young composer, and he at times I'll play one of his pieces and I say, oh, this is like Francis Macbeth. He took something. Well, the piece we're doing now is we're doing the American Elegy, which is written for the victims of the Columbine High School shooting tragedy, and this piece reminds you of Alfred Reed with a 21st century flavor.
Huh.
And it's so well put together. And he uses an old Baroque, possibly pre-Baroque, tool of the suspension. The way he makes this piece sound so terrific, and it's just I guarantee if you come to the concert, this will be the one that you'll talk about the next day, because he uses a suspension, and that means that the body of the orchestra or the band will resolve to another chord, and a certain line will suspend over, and then resolve late, creating a tension that is so satisfying because the release comes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that at an extremely high level, the best I've heard in many years.
So that brings up a musical idea that interests me, because when we were in the eras, hundreds and hundreds of years of tonal music, everybody understood what intuitively what resolution meant in music, because if it didn't resolve back to your key, you felt what happened to the last note? Like, where is it? Like, the music always needs to resolve. You can't just leave it hanging. If you sing a song and leave it mid sentence,
yep,
everybody knows, that didn't end.
That's right.
But of course, with the atonal composers, it was much harder to find that resolution because they weren't organizing around a key.
That's right.
But there is something very satisfying when things in Western music,
of course,
resolve. So that suspension is a way of sort of doing both. You're sort of holding that tension, but then you do allow it to resolve.
And you know that was first started. Well, you know, you can't say anything's first in music, but it was Wagner's Prelude to Tristan and Isolde. That was atonal, and no one realizes it until you analyze it.
Yeah. Huh.
And it has no key, and that's Wagner tried to do away with tonality, and then people just started doing other things to do away with tonality. However, Bach even did that. He did it with suspensions, and he did it with passing tones,
and dissonance. Monteverdi did it even earlier. You hear terrible dissonances, but then they resolve into something consonant. That's where we breathe a sigh of relief and sit back for a second.
And who was the crazy motet writer, madrigal writer, Gesualdo?
Oh.
Gesualdo had a bunch of atonality in the pieces he did.
That's another discussion. Gesualdo, who murdered his wife and her lover, yeah. I believe. I think
he did.
He did. Yes,
he did.
Yes. He was rather a mad guy, but for
and
many
was
reasons.
Proud of it.
And proud of it. But here his music has lived on for centuries. Great. So Frank Ticelli. Yes, we've talked about Frank Ticelli, and we have a number of his works all for band. So he's definitely. This is where he's.
Right.
He's made his mark.
And he's one of the ones, I remember having a conversation with Francis Macbeth many years ago, and we were talking about music in general. He said, you know, the orchestra is the Cadillac of ensemble music. It is, and it's going to be for a long time. He said, but you know, the band is a Buick Electra.
I love that. Well, band, because you've got all these high school and junior high school bands, and they've been commissioning this music for years, clinics where they all get together and they need a new piece, and that's true for orchestra, but there's just so much orchestra repertoire there already, and the band is new. That we're talking about less. We've got music that's more than 100 years old, of course, for band, but for the wind ensembles,
it's really
it's new.
About less than 100 years old.
Yeah.
Really, the repertoire.
Yeah.
But the things that are more than 100 years old basically were either done for military band or were orchestral transcriptions.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Frank Ticelli, Norman Della Gioia, and what else is on the program on Sunday?
We're going to do Overture to Candide, Leonard Bernstein, and It May Do Us, but
better do it at the end.
It's one of those pieces that is just delightful to play. It's fun, but you can't start having too much fun, or it will show you who's boss.
Yeah, definitely. And that's it.
Well, we'll be doing. Some other pieces. I wish I could remember the name of them. I only brought three.
Okay, that's fine. There's always a number of works on the programs. Works.
Yeah, we're doing several others that are. We'll do a march, and we're going to do National Emblem. I couldn't remember.
Okay.
It's a non-Sousa, and I had to think for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Do National Emblem march, and there's one other, but I can't think of what. Hey, it'll be a surprise. Come Sunday, and you will see.
I'm going to start up and then we'll bring it up in a minute. The Candide, because we've got it with a band version. Dr. Bill Clark has been my guest today. The concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Atkinson Recital Hall. If you've never been to a Mesilla Valley Concert Band concert, they are always a treat filled with fantastic musicians. Will John Schutz also be conducting?
John's not conducting this time.
Okay, just you.
Yeah, right.
Okay, my guest, Dr. Clark, will be at the helm. And let's go out with music of Leonard Bernstein. This is the Overture to Candide, arranged for band, the one that you'll be doing by Claire Grundham. And we're listening to the Taiwan Wind Ensemble, John Boyd conducting. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Clark.
Thank you.